I am in love with him. He is my everything. He is my all in all. He is my, I just can't tell you with natural human words how I feel about God. Amen. How I feel about my Father. Let's just worship him. Lord, we just love you. We just love you so much. Father, I'm so impressed with you. I'm so in awe of you. I'm just, my mind can't even comprehend, Father, how great you really are, Father. I just thank you so much for your goodness and your mercy. Father, we love you tonight. We want you to know that we love you. And Father, I want you to know that I know. Father, I want you to know that I'm well aware that I am nothing without you. That, Father, I have nothing without you. I can do nothing worthwhile without you, Father. And so I just love you. Father, thank you for your great love with which you've loved us. Father, if we would understand the depths of your love for us, Father, it would change our lives. That you gave everything, the Bible says it pleased you to bruise Jesus. Not because you're into hurting your child, but you knew what it would mean for us. And Jesus, you willingly went to the cross. You could have come off that. You could have called legions of angels. Nobody took your life from you. You laid it down willingly. As you knew in your foreknowledge that there'd be people that would reject you, that there would be people that would turn against you, there would be people that would not want anything to do with you, yet you did it anyways. That it just blows my mind, Father, that depth of that kind of love. And thank you so much, Father. We love you tonight. We're in love with you tonight. We bless you. Thank you for the word tonight. Help us to receive. Father, speak through me that my words would not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. And Father, we'll make sure to give you the praise and glory. And Father, bless each and every person that is here tonight. Father, you know that life is busy. You know that things happen in life, and there's many things they could be doing right now naturally, but they've chosen to hear the word. So give them something. Feed them, Father, a gourmet dinner here tonight, Father. We thank you for the food of the word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. James chapter 1. You know, the last two Wednesdays I've preached on the mind, and I got quiet and knew that we weren't done yet. Why? Because it's something we need to make sure we're watching out for. Amen. James chapter 1 and verse 21 says, "Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able," or you could say it this way, "which has the ability," which is more than capable, "of what? Able to save your souls." Oh, what's that talking about is our mind, right? Our mind. Our spirits are already saved. This is written to born-again Christians. Now go with me to 3 John 2. I guess it's a little bit of review, but people need to hear it over and over and over. 3 John verse 2. So the Bible says that the Word of God, God's Word, is able to save our souls or save our minds. And you might think, well, what in the world is the big deal of the mind? Well, 3 John 2 says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper." That means a prosperous journey. Well, you can't have a prosperous journey being sick. You can't have a prosperous journey being oppressed or depressed or anxious or worried or broke. So that prosperity is talking about a whole prosperity in life and be in health. That's God's desire. But he says, even as your soul or your mind prospers. He says your prosperity in life in the natural realm is dependent upon your mind prospering. That if your mind's not prospering and your mind's in the wrong places, or if your mind's doing the wrong things, it's going to be hard for the natural to prosper. And if your mind's prospering and your mind's on the right things and your mind's doing the right things, it'll show up in other areas in the natural. Praise God. Hallelujah. I know when I got born again, here I was saved. Jesus, you know, came into my car there on January. Oh, well, let me take that back. That was in the fall of 1996, I believe that was, yes, when I was in the vehicle ready to take my life, and Jesus gave me that vision of that neon sign that said eternity on it, written in cursive with a capital letter E, and the rest of the letters were lowercase, and it just flashed on and off, eternity. He was so nice to do that to me, right? And then I got born again years later when somebody told me about him. What Jesus did through that was bought me some time, right? I was ready to do it, and I said, I'm not doing that because I don't know where I'm going, and I knew about hell. Well, then I got born again, but what was interesting is I got born again. Here I was. I became one of God's children on January 10th, 2002, but yet I still continued for weeks and for months to live well below what God had provided for me. And yet, when it all turned around was when I changed this. When I got my mind straight, everything started to change. Addiction started falling off. Wrong thinking and habits and just all this wrong thinking that caused me to be poor and caused me to be sick and caused me to have trouble in my mind, it all started to go away, but it was all dependent upon this. So the Bible says, as your mind goes, praise God, as your mind goes, so does the rest of you. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3. You can't preach too much on the mind. You can't preach too much on the mind. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 in verse 3 says, We walk in the flesh, but that's not our battle. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Well, how do you pull down strongholds? Well, if you're trying to pull them down, that must be what the enemy's trying to get you in. Strongholds are imaginations, right? They're reasonings, they're thinkings outside the Word of God that try to come onto you to get you to believe and to think that way. But he says to cast those things down. Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Now this last line, he says, bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Basically, the end of that verse is James 1:21. James 1:21 says that the Word of God can save your mind. Well, the rest of that verse says to bring your thoughts are of the mind, captivity. Don't let them run free. Get them wrestled. Get them lassoed. And then bring them to the obedience of Christ. Well, what is the obedience of Christ? The obedience of Christ is the Word of God. So you take your thoughts and you bring them back to the Word. Hallelujah. And if they're not the Word, the Bible says you cast them down. You pull them down. You get rid of those things. The strongholds develop when thinkings and reasonings and situations and circumstances arise outside of the Word of God, and you believe them, and you talk that way, and you live that way, and then that's when things go wrong, right? But the Bible says that the Word can save your soul. Well, the soul is not just the mind. The soul is the mind, the will, and the emotions of a person. And so the Bible says that the Word, if you bring it to Christ, that's your answer. See, the wonderful thing about the Word of God, and I've said it before, is it keeps us safe from ourselves.
That's good.
Yeah. Do you know you need to be kept safe from yourself? Paul said this. He said, in me dwells no good thing. The apostle said, in my flesh dwells no good thing. And he's the one that wrote that you have to renew your mind to change. So he was saying, in my flesh, he's basically said, I don't trust my flesh and I don't trust my mind. I just renew it to the Word and then it keeps me safe from myself. Because it's your mind and your flesh that is constantly pulling you to do things outside of God's way. Absolutely. In Romans 12 and verse 2, and we're going to build upon it tonight. This is a kind of a half review, half just giving it to you because you need it. Type of intro here. Romans 12 and verse 2 says, and be not conformed to the world. You know, if God tells you not to be conformed to the world, you ought not to be conformed to the world.
Yeah.
He says, but. See, people that want to do it the world's way, they don't understand. God's way is way higher. God's way is more joyful. See, if you think, let me just say, I'm going to address wrong thoughts right now. If you think doing things outside of the boundaries of the Word is better than doing with the Word, you have a wrong way of thinking about the Word.
Yeah, that's right.
Absolutely. And that's one of the lies the devil will get you, that you're missing out and that you're losing out and doing it. No. Then the Word's been presented to you wrong. Because there's no more joy, no more prosperity, no more peace, no more excitement, no more blessing, no more health, no more protection, no more favor than in the boundaries of the Word. Absolutely. So if you've bought into that, you're believing a lie. Because God says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Brother Hagin said, the greatest need in the body of Christ today is for a Christian to renew their mind. The greatest need. That When I hear someone like him make a statement like that, my goodness, that tells you that the mind needs to be renewed. Because the mind will not think the way God thinks unless you replace that way of thinking. Your flesh will not act like the Word of God unless you crucify and do what the Bible says. Hallelujah. So we see this. Now go with me real quick to Genesis 3 and verse 1. Tonight might be sobering, but I'm just going to obey the Spirit of God because I was ready to go on to preach faith or to preach something else. But he said, preach on the mind. People still need to hear about the mind, how important it is. Better do the right thing with your mind. Genesis 3 in verse 1, this gives us a picture of how the enemy works and what we need, what we're up against. It says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, has God said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said. So God's saying something, the devil's saying something. And that's the way life is. God's going to be saying something, the devil's going to be saying something. You make up your mind who you're going to listen to. God's always speaking, the devil's always speaking. He absolutely, you can't get the devil to shut up. You might be able to get him to shut up for a season, but he's coming back. Came back on Jesus. Absolutely. You can't get the devil to stop talking. Stop trying to beat him in that arena. Just stop listening to what he has to say. Just stop listening to what he, just don't obey what he says. Don't listen to what he says. You can't get him to stop talking at times, but just stop listening to what he says. Well, devil said something. God said, you just don't eat that one or you'll die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you won't die. So that's what the devil does. The devil comes and presents things contrary to God's word through circumstances, through other people, through thoughts. That's what he does. He comes and he'll give you a thought. A circumstance will rise up where you can't pay your bills. And naturally, that's the truth, but we don't go by the natural. And the thought will come, I can't do this, I can't do this. You're not going to make it, you're not going to make it. That's contrary to what the Bible says. The Bible says you cast that down, those imaginations, those thoughts, those wrong thinking, and you bring it to the Bible. And then when you bring it to the Bible, you present it to the Bible, you say, okay, this is what Adam or Eve should have done here. The devil says you won't die. God says you will die. Okay, let's bring what the devil said. Let's bring that thought to the Word. Devil says we won't die, but the Word of God says we will die. So therefore, I'm going with the Word, devil. Get out of here. Cast you down. She didn't do that, though, did she? And for God does know in verse 5 that in the day you eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So there you go, right there. The devil told them, just what I just got done preaching about. The devil told them that outside of the confines of the will of God, it's better. So if you have a thought in your money, in your kids, in your marriage, in your body, in your eyes, in your hands, whatever, in your business, how you do things, if you have the thought that doing it the other way, besides what the Word says, is better, you know what voice you're listening to. The devil. And ladies and gentlemen, guess what path? See, God leads you into paths of righteousness. Still waters. Green pastures. You know what the devil leads you down the paths of? Stealing. Killing. Destroying. But notice, he told Adam and Eve, it's better doing it my way. Oh, that didn't work out too well. Hallelujah. Man, it sure is quiet in this Presbyterian church this morning. Praise the Lord. I heard a minister say that one time. I almost fell out of my seat. Couldn't believe they said it. Praise God. I loved hearing. Not that I have anything against Presbyterians. I don't know. That's just what he said. I don't know what that means, but I'll have to go check one out sometime. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, if you're Presbyterian or you know him, I'm not against the Presbyterians. I'm just quoting a minister. He said it when it got quiet. So maybe they're quiet over there. I don't know. Anyways. But look at that. Praise God, I can't get off that point right there. The devil will tell you it's better to do it his way. Well, what's his way? Any way that's not this way.
Right.
When it comes to your money, when it comes to your marriage, when it comes to your kids. You know, I'll tell you, I said that and there's like my spirit was arrested. You know that the world will put pressure in the world through media with how you raise your kids and what other families are doing. There will be pressure to not raise your children God's way. Absolutely. The world will call you crazy for doing it God's way. And thoughts will come that you're being too strict and that you're doing this and that. keep your children in the confines of the Word, they'll be the most blessed they've ever been in their life. Absolutely. But that's what the devil will say. The devil will come with thoughts and through people. He'll do that with your money. Oh, that tithing thing doesn't apply to you. That offering thing doesn't apply to you. You'll have more money if you don't do it. Things will be better. You're listening to the wrong guy. You're listening to the guy that's trying to lead you down a path. Listen, nobody's going to go down the path of the devil if immediately he grabs you and destruction starts. No, he sweetens it up and makes it look good for a while. Absolutely. Through wrong relationships. I remember I dealt with a young lady in Olean. She was a St. Bonaventure student. She came to the church. I don't even know if we're even going to get to this stuff tonight. But anyways, we were at the church, and she started to love the Word. Would send me emails, tell me I'm just so thankful. I finally found a church that preaches the Bible. And whether or not there's other churches only that do or not, I don't know. That's just what she said. And that's great, you know. But then all of a sudden came up the idea that she brought up her boyfriend. She said, my boyfriend, I need help because he doesn't even want anything to do with God. In fact, he doesn't even believe in God. I said, well, they need to drop him. Well, you know, and she started coming up with wells and butts and wells and butts. Lots of wells and butts in the body of Christ. Well and but, well and but, well and but. Well, but. I said, the Word says, be not unequally yoked together with them that are unbelievers. For what fellowship does Christ and Belial, or what fellowship does light and darkness have? Has none. Right. Has none. Well, he's so this and that. Stop it. See, the devil's telling her things. The Word telling her opposite. It's her choice what she's going to believe. But ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you what. The devil can make situations look good. The devil can make situations seem good. But if it does not go in line with the Bible, at the end of that tunnel is destruction and stealing and killing from you. It is. Adam and Eve, they didn't believe it, did they? They didn't believe it. And the devil said, oh, come on, do it my way. It's going to be great. Come on, it's going to be, you're going to be like a god. You're going to be like a god. Oh, imagine the imaginations they had. And what was he doing? Got to get him. He's a trickster. He's a trickster. Hallelujah. So if you're having the thought, it would be better to not do it God's way. You know what voice you're listening to and what's at the end of that road. So that's all with the thoughts. Well, they should have just brought it to Jesus, but they didn't. The Word brought it to the Word. They did. They listened. And what happened? Destruction happened. Lots of destruction happened. Now go with me to Matthew chapter 7. Hallelujah. But that's how it happens. He comes with thoughts contrary to the Word, situations, circumstances, contrary to the Word. Matthew chapter 7. The Word, ladies and gentlemen, is meant to keep you safe. To me, it's freedom. It's like I don't have to try to figure out life. I'll just copy what the book says. Life is an open book test for the Christian. It's so simple. That's why I love GPSs, right? I love that when the lady says, up here, 500 feet, turn right. I'm like, thank you, lady. And, you know, you can turn her off if you want to, but I'm thankful. I don't even have to think. Just you tell me when to turn. You know, back in the old days, right? But back in the old days when you had the map and you're, like, still looking for route. I mean, I remember traveling when I was younger with my family. I don't remember it as well as some of you remember it, if you know what I mean. But some of you have a lot more experience in those days than me. But how more difficult it was, you know, you're constantly looking at the signs, constantly looking at the maps. And I know the GPS can mess up at times, but a lot of times it's right on. And I just love being able to drive and not think. Up here, turn. Okay, I guess up here I'm turning. I love that, right? And that's what the Bible is. It takes the thinking out of it. It takes the emotion out of it. It takes the guesswork out of life. Amen. Remember, other people I could use as testimony, but Jake was such an extreme case. Jake, you were one messed up dude when you came to me. Were you? Yeah. Absolutely you were. Yeah. And I've already got permission to talk about him, so he don't get mad and say, oh, God, I hope Pastor doesn't do that with me. But Jake was messed up, came to me, and I could sense a hunger in him, but he was mixed up in his mind, mixed up in his body, mixed up in everything. And I sat him down at Applebee's. I remember it. And I said, listen, I said, you're in a bad place here, and I can get you out of it. Just listen to everything I tell you. And everything I tell you is going to be the Bible. So you don't have to worry about me being a weirdo in a cult. I said, you take everything I tell you, and I'll give you chapter and verse on it, and you go back and look and make sure that I'm not. Because that's weird, you know, when you just meet someone, for you've only been at one or two services, and you meet someone, and they're saying, listen to everything I say to you. I'd be like, oh, sayonara. Go on to a different church. But I prefaced it with, everything I tell you, make sure you take it back to the Bible, because if it's not in the Bible, you don't listen to me. And you know what? He just listened to the Bible. He took the guesswork out of his life. Oh, God said do this with my money. Okay. God said do this with my body. Okay. God said do this with my eyes. Okay. Yes. I love that. That makes it simple for people like this guy right here. Just do it this way. Hallelujah. I always tell people, when you're explaining how to do something to me, pretend I'm in kindergarten or even lower. Talk to me that level, because then I get it. Just the truth. Telling you the truth. Praise God. Matthew 7 and verse 24. Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine. So the whole thing with the mind and the renewal of the mind is renewing it to God's word, making the decision and the choice that I'm going to think God's way, I'm going to talk God's way, I'm going to walk out life God's way, right? It's basically being a doer of the word, isn't it? Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Well, foundation, right? The right foundation. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Now, verse 26 and 27, we'd read them all the time, but I just feel like people gloss over these. They go in one ear and out the other. Jesus is not a liar. Jesus is not here to play, be a drama queen. Jesus is telling you exactly what's going to happen in your life if you don't do the right thing with the Bible. He said, and everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does them not, I'll liken him, number one, to being a fool who built his house upon the sand. Well, that's not a good foundation. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell. Jesus didn't say it might fall. He said that if you will not do the word, not renew your mind to the word, keep listening to the thoughts of the devil, walking out things of the devil, talking like the devil, living like the devil. See, you might think you're so holy and righteous, but if you're not doing the word of God, you're living like the devil. You might think, well, that's just the tithe. That's just coming to church. That's just not forgiving someone that really is a pest in that. That's just not walking. No, no. When you don't do things God's way, you are acting like the devil. I know we don't like to hear these types of things, but it's true. Remember when Peter spoke up and said something anti-word of God? Here he had been with Jesus doing everything. What did Jesus say? He said, you're the devil. He said, get behind me, devil. Yes. You know, Christians don't realize that a step outside the word of God is a step inside the devil's kingdom. And when you're doing that, you're not saying it this way and you're not trying to portray it this way, but you're basically saying, devil, let's go, bud. Let's go. What you got for me? Let's do it. Let's partner up. Let's hang out. Absolutely. I know. And Jesus said when you do that, a fall is coming, but not just a fall, a great fall. A great fall is coming. Do we believe Jesus or don't we? Do we believe? Now you say, what does that mean, Pastor? I'm supposed to be absolutely perfect. It means when you miss it and you become aware of something, you get out of missing it and you repent and get into God. That's what it means. That's what it means. See, and this is what you have to understand, and people don't understand this, is that falls don't happen overnight. You know that when a house is built, I was reading today online as I was just marinating in my office, marinating in God all day, and I was reading online, looking up, because I don't know too much about construction and things like that. So I was looking at different reputable people that do that kind of things and see what they say about foundations. And they said the foundation is the most important part of the house, because the house sits on the foundation. It's not the most glorious and the most beautiful looking thing, but it's the most important. And they said, you know, if the foundation is set wrong, they're going to encounter problems not only as they're building it and things will be off, but they're going to encounter problems if they don't fix that foundation, problem after problem after problem in that house. That's what they all, it all seemed to be the common thread, that how important it was and that these things. And notice that you can build a house on a wrong foundation and not necessarily at first are you going to notice it. But after a while, you start seeing cracks and start seeing things that are a little bit off and start seeing they lead to wrong and bad things over time if they're not corrected. Amen? So great falls sometimes, because what we get tricked into thinking at times is life's going on. Yeah, you think the devil's dumb enough to destroy everything at first? He's going to just slowly lead you, and thank God for mercy and grace and protection that keeps him off our back for a while. Praise God. But he knows he's a trickster. He's a trickster. Praise God. He's a trickster. And so Jesus said the great will be the fall of it. Well, falls don't happen overnight. Think about, go with me to Genesis 4, I'll show you. Do you know that God's intention for mankind was to never die, a natural death? We see this by the lifespans of the people in the early part of the Bible. 900 years, 800 years, 700. Well, what was the reason? Because there was no death on the earth. There was no sickness. There was nothing wrong with the air. There was nothing wrong with the food. There was nothing wrong with heart, all these problems. And then as time went on, you see the lifespans in the Bible getting shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter. And now all we're promised in the Bible is 120 years, and hardly anybody gets to there.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Lifespans went down. Well, God's intention was no death ever. Because the Bible says death didn't appear until one man sinned and went against God. Romans 5:17 says, for by one man's offense or one man's sin, death ruled and reigned. Why? They gave over the authority to the devil. No, it took outside of God. Well, so do you realize that things like murder was not a part of what God's plan was? So, when Pastor Mike shows you a little story about Cain and Abel, if we really want to get serious about it, yes, we know that the devil was up to something, but whose fault at the root was it? Adam and Eve's. How did death enter in? Through mom and dad. Absolutely. And it didn't happen overnight, because we'll see here, but when Cain killed Abel, he had a wife. He was getting married there. He was older. It didn't. We think, well, maybe they were like 8, 7. No, this was years after the fall. Great falls don't happen overnight. And that's part of the thing that tricks people. Well, life doesn't seem to be changing. Life doesn't seem to be getting different. Jesus is not a liar. He said, if you continue to do it and build the wrong foundation, don't get the foundation fixed, there will be a fall. Hallelujah. It's part about renewing the mind. Chapter 4 and verse 1 says, Adam knew Eve, his wife. She conceived and bore Cain and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in a process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground, offering of the Lord. And Abel brought of the firstlings of the flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering, but Cain unto his offering had not respect. And Cain was very wroth or angry, and his countenance fell. The Lord said, Why is your countenance fallen? Why are you angry? If you do well, will you not be accepted? If you do not well, the sin lies at the door. And unto you shall be his desire, and it shall rule over you. Hallelujah. You see that there. Now, we know what ended up happening, right? Verse 8, Cain talked with Abel's brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel's brother and slew him. That's a great fall when one of your children is murdering the other child. That didn't happen overnight. That happened years down the road. But how did it happen? How did it start? Adam and Eve listened to the devil. That's the only way I can tell it. Adam and Eve listened to the devil. And down the road, well, what does the Bible say? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever you are sowing, you will reap it. But that's why you have to understand. It doesn't happen overnight, because neither do good harvests happen overnight. You plant something in the ground, you wake up the next morning, you don't see anything coming out. It takes time for it to manifest and come to fruition. Absolutely. Praise God. This is the truth. We better wake up and start believing Jesus' words. He's not a liar. You can't pick and choose what part of the Bible you want to be in on and what part of the Bible you want to be out on. I mean, we don't like these kind of things, these great falls and seeing, but let's be honest with it. The only reason that happened, yes, there's a devil and the devil was given a place, but that should have never happened, and it didn't happen until Adam and Eve believed the wrong thoughts. And great was the fall. Just exactly what Jesus said would happen. You don't do my word, great fall's coming. Great fall's coming. God, we don't want... And I'll tell you what, the devil has ways. See, he was in on this. He's not a nice person. He's evil. Amen?
Amen.
Notice it affected... Go to Psalms 112 and verse 1. We've looked at this in our prosperity message. But you know what? I preach a lot on this. And you want to know why? Because kids are innocent.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on.
They're the innocent ones who are at the beckon and the mercy of mom and dad doing it right. Or mom or dad or uncle or whoever's in authority over that child.
Right.
Psalm 112 verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty on the earth. His seed shall be mighty on the earth. Whose seed? The one that does the word of God.
Amen.
His seed will be mighty on the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed.
Hallelujah.
As I always call my children, they're mighty and blessed and favored on this earth. Why? Because I'm going to do it God's way.
Amen.
And it's going to assure me how my kids are going to turn out.
Right.
So, well, you never know, Pastor. No, I do know because God said so. I love when people tell me, well, they're good now, but you never know. No, I do know because this already told me my future. If I train him up in the way that he'll go, he will not depart when he's older. But if I don't train my children the way that they go, it's a crapshoot and a lottery when they get older. I do know. Don't tell me how my kids are going to turn out. God already told me. They're going to be blessed and mighty on the earth. Yes. Glory to God. I love what Brother Hagin said one day. He said in a church, he said, you spend 5 minutes with people, you know, you can hear what their faith is. He said, in the church he pastors, I can tell you the future of every single one of the kids in here without even knowing the future. By what mom and dad calls important, by what mom and dad sows into their lives, by what mom and dad puts, if God's nobody, if God's casual, and God, he knows how they're going to turn out. But he said, I know how the good ones are going to turn out. Yeah. And that, unfortunately, has nothing really to do with the kids at all.
Right.
Man, I tell you, you start talking about kids and money, it's the holy hush. It's a phenomenon. It sets in. Now, let me say this to help you, because some people have kids that are older. And listen, you can only go by what you know. There's things that I suffered for in my life because I didn't know. Right? Well, I can't sit there and beat myself up for that stuff. And even say, well, but I did know. But so what? The blood's bigger than your mistake.
Amen. Hallelujah.
You ask for forgiveness and you don't think about those things, right? That's what faith does.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Go to Joshua chapter 5. The builders that I looked up today and was reading and looking for common threads from every one of them. You know who I didn't check out was Bob Vila. That guy knows what he's talking about. I should have checked out Bob Vila. Is he still alive? Is Bob Vila even still alive? He's still going, isn't he? That guy knows how to do things. Let's see what he says about a foundation. Joshua chapter 5, they would say this. They said that when you identify problems in your foundation, and there was different symptoms or things that a house would happen to the home that you could gather that the foundation is off. They say when you identify those problems, not fixing those problems, because it might take some money to fix it, but it takes a lot less money to fix some of those smaller problems than what happens if you leave it undone over time.
Sure.
And what I want to say and show you here is that when you don't identify, when you identify problems in your foundation, which is what? The Word of God. When there's areas in your life where you're not doing it in the Bible's way, that's a crack in your foundation. That's going to lead to problems and problems and problems. And eventually, if the cracks get too big, it's going to crumble. And if you don't fix those problems, it's going to lead to a bigger issue down the road. Joshua chapter 5 and verse 6 tells us that too. It says, let's see here. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness. To all the people that were men of war, which came out of Egypt, were consumed. Because, why did they wander 40 years and their carcasses fell in the wilderness? Because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord. Well, if they weren't obeying the voice of the Lord, there's only one other voice they can obey, and it's the devil. Yes. They didn't obey the voice of the Lord, and so there they wandered for 40 years. Unto whom the Lord sware that he would not show them the land, which the Lord swore unto their fathers that he would give them, a land that flows with milk and honey. You say, what do you mean the cracks in the foundation identifying it? You go back and you look at when God told them, that's it, you're done, you're not going in. I can't violate the principles of faith. You're done, you're staying out, you're wandering for 40 years. But you look at before then, they were a bunch of doubters and complainers the whole time, even from the time before God delivered them across the Red Sea to after God delivered them. They were doubters and unbelievers and complainers. Well, the Bible says don't complain about anything. The Bible says faith is the way, right? Well, back then they should have identified, where am I not doing the word? I'm doubting here. I'm complaining here. What is that? A crack in their foundation. They didn't fix it. The cracks kept getting bigger because they'd come upon a new thing and they'd complain and they'd moan and they'd groan and they'd complain and they'd whine and they'd cry. What? They were doing outside the word of God. Yeah. Well, what happened? It got so big, just like Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, that whoever hears my sayings, does not do them, will be likened to a man that built his house upon a sand. The rains come, the floods come, the winds come, beat upon the house, and it falls, and great was the fall. When God said, no more, you're going to wander for 40 years, that was the fall. All up to there, there was all these little cracks in their foundation that they didn't fix. They didn't have to. Even after all the doubting and unbelieving and cracks in the foundation, they could have fixed that, sent the 10 spies with Caleb and Joshua, so 12 altogether, sent them into the land, saw that it was tough and saw it was hard, could have come back, and they still could have fixed that thing and said, that's okay, we got this. But no, then they just had a bigger crack. Oh, we can't do this. It would have been better if we'd have died. God, give us a new leader. Moses can't do it anymore. And what happened? Matthew 7, 24 and verse 27 happened. They fell, and great was their fall because they didn't recognize it. Ladies and gentlemen, before there's a fall, before there's a crumbling, because you don't know the fallout that can be attached to a crumbling. You don't know what all can be attached to that crumble. Before there's a crumble, fix the foundation. Fix the situation. Your mind renewed to the Bible. Hallelujah. My good. I don't know how many times I have to clean up messes from people that I had talked to months ago, that I talked to years ago, that won't do the word of God. And then a problem comes and we're in that situation because they didn't do the right thing. Don't get to a fall. Do it God's way. Amen? Do it God's way. Go to James 1 and verse 13. I told you the crumble doesn't just happen. James 1 and verse 13. If you're here tonight, okay, if you're here tonight and you could say, Pastor Mike, I do believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. If you can say that, then you have to believe everything else that's in this book too.
That's right. Come on.
Then you have to believe that the fall is real.
Yeah.
That the wages of sin really will be death. That be not deceived, God is not mocked, that you will end up reaping what you sow. You might not see it now, just like you could plant a seed and think, it's not working. And, oh, there's a blade of grass, there's some green, there's something sprouting up out of the ground. It really does work. If you believe that Jesus died on the cross, you have to believe the rest of it. Because that's just as much word of God as all this. James chapter 1 and verse 13 says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted or tested with evil, neither does he tempt any man. But every man is tempted. Tempted to do what? Go outside the word of God. Notice this. When he is drawn away of his own lust, he is enticed. Then lust conceives. See, they have the wrong thinking at first. They start getting their eyes and their appetites on things outside the Bible. And the Bible says that lust grows and then it conceives, right? Lust gets pregnant. And it says, and when it conceives, then it brings forth. When it gets pregnant, it has a baby. What does it have a baby? A baby of sin. When sin is finished, it brings forth death. Jay, go to verse 13 in the Amplified. Let's read that in the Amplified and see how this works. Let no man when he, or yeah, we'll go to the Amplified there. Let no one when he's tempted say, I'm tempted from God, for God is incapable of being tempted by what is evil, and he himself tempts no one. Verse 14. But every person is tempted when he is drawn away, enticed and baited by his own evil desire, lust and passions, things outside the Bible. Well, what's the danger there? The danger is verse 15. That's why, remember we said last week, the seed, the thought is like a seed. And remember, when you just plant a seed, they're easy to pluck out of the ground. You know, the biggest oak tree in the world that you couldn't, I mean, it would just take a miracle to get that thing out of the ground. You can't go up, but you know what? Day one of that oak tree, when the seed was planted, you can get that thing out of the ground. You dig that thing up easily. But roots took hold. Well, the evil desire, when it is conceived, when it's not dealt with, the crack in the foundation gets bigger. It gives birth to sin, the walking it out, the living it. When sin is fully matured, it brings forth death. What is it? That's called a fall. That's called a fall. That's called a reaping. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1. You thought it was quiet in here before. Wait to see this. I'll tell you, if this doesn't scare everybody into holiness, nothing will. If this doesn't scare, say, are you trying to scare us? I'm not trying, but if it scares you into holiness, well, so be it. It's the Word of God, and I'll tell you what, it's food for thought, and it'll make you think about some things. Amen. I'll tell you what, it'll upend a whole lot of theology of the once saved, always saved movement. Yeah. This once saved, always saved garbage. Read this and see if God's a once saved, always saved type of God. I'll tell you what, and then I'll balance it out with some balance. First Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1 says, it is reported commonly. See, what we're talking about is wrong thinking, because it's the wrong thinking that leads to the wrongdoing, right? It doesn't just happen where you all of a sudden you're in a place of walking out sin. It started with a thought. It started with a wrong thought about against the Word. It is reported commonly that there's fornication among you. That's sexual sin. And such fornication, now listen to this. He's saying among you. So he's saying among Christians, we're getting reports of this wrong sexual sin happening. You see that? Fornication. And he says, among you, among Christians, he said, so much so that it's not even named among the Gentiles. He's saying, people that don't even know God aren't doing this stuff. Oh, that's a negative thing against the church. When the world lives holier and more godly, and they don't even know and don't even have the Holy Ghost on the inside, that's a sad state of affairs. Yeah. It's just a truth. It says, is not so much as named among the Gentiles that one should have his father's wife. This guy was shagging up with his stepmom, a Christian in the Corinthian church. Said the world's not even pulling that. I mean, that's Jerry Springer stuff. That's where Jerry Springer got his show from. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 right here. I see Jerry Springer all over this one. Is he still alive? I don't know. Is he still going? That's the kind of stuff I used to watch. Not anymore. But that's the kind of stuff I'd see. What in the world? Whether that's true or they're getting paid, it was true here. He says, and you're puffed up and have not rather mourned. Look what he says ought to be done over sin. Sin ought to be a mourning there. He said that he that done this deed should be taken away from you, not coddled and given mercy. Get that guy out of here. There's no place for him here. That's what Paul said. I know, this is the Bible. I'm telling you, this will. That's what I mean. If this doesn't scare you into living right, there ain't nothing in the Bible that will. It says, for verily, absent in the body, but present in the spirit, have judged already as though I were present concerning him that has done this thing. He said, I'm not there. He said, but I've already judged of this thing, being absent from you, of what we're going to do with this guy. He says, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one unto Satan. Paul says, when you're together, you have the power to do this, church. Deliver this one to give him over to the devil. And you might think, my God, what happened to mercy? That was a mercy move. I said, what do you mean that was a mercy move? Look at the end of why Paul said to do that. He said, delivered such a one is doing what? Someone that's living outside of the Bible, continues to sin and sin and sin and sin, not doing it God's way, continuing to do it, deliver that person unto Satan. Why? For the destruction of their flesh, so their spirit would be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. That's already talking about a Christian. Once saved, always saved. Maybe we better check 1 Corinthians chapter 5 before we preach that doctrine. Yeah. He said, He said, this person is going so down a road of sin that eventually, if they're not stopped, they will lose their salvation. And Paul says, in the name of mercy, hand them over to Jesus. Stop praying for their protection. Or hand them over to the devil. Stop praying for their protection. Get them over to the devil, because when you get to the devil's going to destroy the flesh, which is what the devil does, right? Just so you know, ladies and gentlemen, sickness is not of God, it's of the devil. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. The devil's in the sickness business. And they said, if we can give them to the devil, we know what the devil will do. The devil will destroy their flesh. They'll get sick. They'll die. They'll be gone. But at least they won't have gone down such a far road that they would lose their salvation. It's better to die young and go to heaven than to die old and go to hell.
Amen.
Way better. And Paul said, I've judged this in my spirit. If he keeps continuing like this, there's trouble. That's what he said. Now, so we can get some life back into you. Understand that in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, now some people say that it wasn't the same guy. I believe that it was the same person. But Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 about receiving this one back, that they had repented. So what was the answer to that repentance? So before you walk out of here and think, my God, am I even saved? You're all saved. You're all heaven bound. But food for thought. You know what's interesting? You have to understand that God's merciful. That God's merciful. That the Bible says he gave Jezebel a space and a time to repent. Amen? A space and a time to repent. So you walk out of here and say, no, I'm just going to tell you the way I look. Okay, walk out of here and say, man, what's the threshold? Why even get to the threshold? Just live in God's way. Yeah. I'm just pointing out what the Word of God says, that this person was going, say, what's that road? What's that threshold? What's that line? Is it just that sin? I don't know. I just know that I see a Christian who was born again, if he didn't stop his sin, was not going to heaven. And I say, okay, enough for me to live holy. I mean, Lord, we didn't just take your word for it when you said, be ye holy. We actually have to see an example. Now, I do believe this with all my heart, that mercy triumphs judgment, because we see that in the Word. That to get to this place would have to be such a constant, and if you look at Hebrews chapter 6, it talks about this, about the how to lose your salvation. It's not an easy thing to do. That's a good thing. You have a bad week, you have a bad year, you have a bad couple years, you're not going to hell.
Right.
And I believe that you would know in your spirit things are, there'd be some warning signs there. Amen. Right? But we see it. You can't deny the Word, right? The Word, right. Word's there. So I just say, let's just live like God and do the right thing. And when you miss it, what's the remedy? Repent. The problem was the continual missing it. And he said, I see that road that's going on. Wow. We'll see if we have a church on Sunday. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 30. See, that's why Brother Hagin said, be quick to forgive, but be quick to repent. Because when you repent, it's okay. Nobody go home and wonder if you're going to heaven or not. You're going to heaven. Praise God. Say, well, I've missed it for 10 years in a row. Repent and get out of that. Repent and get out of that. Amen? Hallelujah. And I'll help you with that at the end of this message. We're almost done. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 30 says, for this cause, many, now you say, what's the cause? The cause was not discerning the Lord's body, not discerning what Jesus did on the cross. See, if you don't know that Jesus paid for your healing on the cross, you won't walk in healing.
That's right.
If you don't realize that not only did, see, because the body of Christ is huge on saying, my sins are forgiven, my sins are forgiven, my sins are forgiven. And you could go up to a Christian and say, oh, you know, your sins aren't forgiven. You say, oh, yes, they are. My Jesus died for me. But a whole lot of Christians have bought the lie that healing's not for them and that God's not the healer and that they can't be healed. See, if you don't discern that on the cross he bore, through those stripes, he bore your sickness, you won't walk into healing. But look at what it says. For this cause, many are weak, sick, and sleep. Well, what's sleep? I'm talking about getting a nap with your blankie and sucking your thumb. I'm talking about taking a dirt nap. Many cause are weak. See the transgression? See the process? Weak turns into sick. Sick turns into death. Why? They didn't discern the Lord's body. They weren't doing things right. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, this is nothing to mess around with.
That's right.
This is not the message that fills the church auditoriums with thousands of people, just so you know. But then when you see church auditoriums filled with thousands of people, tune your ear in to what they're saying. You'll find a lot of them sure aren't teaching the Bible, and that's why they're filled. Not all of them, but the majority of them. Absolutely. Praise God. I remember, let me tell you a few things here, and then we'll close this thing down. But I knew it was going to be sobering tonight, and when this ain't fun for me to preach this, but when I was there meditating on the mind and where he was taking me, I said, okay. I knew a gentleman, I won't tell you what church it was from. It wasn't anybody in our church or in the Olean church. This was years ago. Got offended at the pastor because when the pastor was getting ready to do a project, this person worked for a construction company. Well, the pastor got on their heart, who's supposed to build that building? So the pastor's job is to obey God, not the people. Well, this person in the church got mad that his company didn't get an opportunity to bid on that project. Well, you tell where their thoughts are. Tell where their thoughts are. Left the church. Was there for years. Left the church because, why? Money reasons. Offended at the pastor. Mad at the pastor. I ran into this person at the store a couple years ago. Knew that they had left. I mean, you talk about looking like they had the weight of the world on them. I said, how's things going? So-and-so. Not good. My wife went crazy and ended up leaving me, and now I got cancer, and they don't know if it's going to take my life. You say, well, it's just coincidence. I don't know. It sounds like a great fall to me. It sounds like the wages of sin is death to me. It sounds like, be not deceived, God is not mocked to me. There's always a reaping. And it didn't happen overnight. God gives us space and time to repent, holds back the judgment, holds back the reaping as long as he can, right?
Yeah. Amen.
But he can't violate the Bible. The devil has a right to destroy when you play in his territory. Yeah, the wife went crazy and left him. Oh, and before that, before she went crazy and left him, she totally gambled all their money away. Gone. They were faithful people that served in the church, got offended, got out of church, started doing things the devil's way, and oh, the fall came. Dr. Summerall said the Lord Jesus appeared to him. Dr. Summerall was avoiding being a preacher. Didn't want to be a preacher. And the Lord said, I'll give you a choice. You're either going to preach and go around the world and tell people about me, or you're going to die. You pick. God wouldn't kill him. The devil would for disobedience, but that's what he told him. Wow, wow, wow. I was in a service when Dr. Dufresne prophesied over a pastor of a church in Jamestown. And because I got to find out some things later on, and prophesied to him. Dr. Dufresne told him in private, said, shut your church down now. You are hurting people. If you don't, you're going to die. Guy didn't do it. Kept his church going. What happened? Shortly after, died. You know how we know? Because their kids were in our youth group. Lost their dad. Wasn't doing the word of God. There's consequences, people. The devil destroyed what Adam and Eve had laid out for them by a thought. It all starts here. Disobedience from the word. I'll tell you what, after this message, y'all come up to me and give me a big old hug and say, thank you for keeping me safe, Pastor Mike. You ought to. Really, you should. And last but not least, go with me to Jonah. Say, what? We haven't been there in a while. I know, but we need to go see what Jonah's up to. I like him. Hallelujah. And I know you're having trouble finding him, but just go to page 916, you'll be right there. You'll be right together, Mr. Jonah. Bible says, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. The word of God. The son of Amittai, I guess is how you'd say it. Saying, verse 2, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. So God says, my word says, go to Nineveh. Jonah says, I don't think so. I'll do my own thing. Well, the Bible says you can do your own thing, but just expect to fall. I'm telling you. Now again, you balance that and you season that with mercy and grace. And what I'm going to finish, I'm going to top this off with a cherry on top, and you're all going to be so happy with me. You're going to go back to loving me again. Maybe some of you never even loved me, but we'll get you there someday. I hope. Oh, Lord Jesus, I hope. He said, go cry against the city. I mean, I tell you what, it's amazing. I think about the wrong thoughts I used to get against my pastor, and then I see what he does for me. And he just prays and gives his life, time away from family, money, and spent just seeking God, doing everything. If you understood how much your shepherd loves you. If you just understood, you say, oh, you're just telling me that to make me like you more. Well, if that works, yeah, let's keep telling you. If that'll help you like me more, but it's the truth. Amen. Your pastor gives his life for you. Yeah. Just time. I mean, some people don't even know. Like, hours spent helping people. And yeah. At the drop of a hat, I mean, I'll do anything to help people. Just love the sheep. And people get wrong thoughts and just... sad, you know? Sad. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish. I mean, you should have known by the name of that place. You don't go there. From the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it with them to Tarshish and from the presence of the Lord. Well, Jesus, through God, said what? Go to Nineveh. Jonah said, I'll do it my way, Lord. Well, we know the end of that story. He finds himself in a storm and gets cast off the side of the boat and gets gobbled up by a big old fish. Right? He did. See, some people, and this, take this as a warning. Some people will go to their knees willingly. Some people will be forced on their knees. What do I mean by that? I'm not talking about people that are not born again, and when Jesus shows up, they'll obey him then. That's going to happen too. I'm talking about people will pray and do the word of God willingly and be out ahead of the things, and then other people are going to be forced on their face to get themselves out of the fall and the crumbling that they've put themselves in, and they'll be forced to obey God. Why let it get to that point? Jonah was at that point. Jonah could have willingly done what God said and been blessed, but Jonah was forced to seek God. Was forced to do it God's way. And if he didn't, it would have cost him his life. Take that as a warning. Get out ahead of the problem, right? Don't be in a position where you're forced to do it God's way if you want to get out of it. Now, if you don't want to get out of it, you can stay destroyed and have your life be messed up. But don't be forced to do the right thing to get out of the wrong thing. Jonah was forced, right? He finally said, okay, I'll do it. And he got bleh. Vomited out, right? Cleans up, I hope. Goes down to Nineveh. Does God's word. Praise God. Forced to do it. I remember sitting at a table with Reverend Greer, and the chills went through my body when he made a statement like this. In the back room at a dinner, he said, you know, and he was using it in the context of ministers. And there's no doubt there's a stricter judgment for ministers. The Bible says that. But the wages of death works for everybody. But there is a stricter, there's less leeway for someone that's in the pulpit and preaching the word. And there should be. It's a great responsibility. But he said, there's pastors, you know, that don't do it God's way, just do it their own way. He said, you can be one of two ways. You can be seeking God now and getting God's plans, doing it God's way, or you'll be forced to have to seek God and be on your knees because you'll be in such a fall and be in such a mess that your only way out is... I don't want to get to that point. Now go with me to last but not least, 1 John 1 and verse 9. 1 John 1 and verse 9. Thank you, Pastor. If you walk out of here with condemnation, you are listening to the enemy. Right. Especially after I give you this verse. If you walk out of here thinking, well, I must be one of those people that's losing my salvation, you're listening to the enemy. Because the way that you make sure that things are okay, see, you can walk out of here tonight as if you never sinned one day in your life. That's pretty cool, right? That's why I told Olean this last night. I said, was I in Olean last night? No, was it last night? No, I wasn't there last night, was I? Was I? That's how bad it's getting. I don't even know where I'm going. I was there last night. I preached last night. Yeah, we had Tuesday service last night. We did, because it was the 5th of July. I said, I don't even know. I'm going so hard and fast sometimes I forget what I'm doing. But I was last night. Then I told him, I said, you don't understand how blessed you are. You have the most perfect pastor on the planet. I said, I've never missed it. And if I do, I don't know it. Now you say, well, that's arrogant. No, that's me trying to point out that the Word of God gives you the opportunity to get a get-out-of-jail-free card from your sins. What I'm saying is once you repent, the blemishes are removed. God sees you as white as snow. God sees you as like the day you were born into Him when He forgave and forget. 1 John 1, I said, I don't know, Pastor, that's a lot to swallow. Well, if, verse 9, if we confess our sins, see, your sins might be different than my sins and other people's sins. He didn't say if you confess your pastor's sins or your whatever. No, he makes it personal. Says, listen, the stuff you're doing is forgivable. He said, if you confess our sins, He's faithful and just. See, God's faithful and just. All that guy had to do in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 is say, I'm wrong. God's desire wasn't for him to go to hell. We see that by Paul saying, give him to Satan. Mercy, give him. We want him to go to heaven. God's desire is that nobody, God didn't make hell for you. He made hell for the devil and all his cronies. Say, I don't want to go to hell. You don't have to go to hell. Nobody has to go to hell. God doesn't send any. God has yet to send one person to hell. God gave a way for everybody to go to heaven. He's yet to send one person to hell. But He says He's faithful and just to forgive. God is wanting to wipe you clean. Now notice this. And to cleanse us from, what's that word? All. All unrighteousness. What's unrighteousness? Is anything outside of the Bible. Any actions, any doing, any continuing. He said, I'll cleanse you of it. All of it. So that tells you that every person in here has no reason to walk out of here condemning themselves, beating themselves up for what they did with that marriage, this relationship, that kid, that business deal, that job. If you'll do verse 9, you can walk out of here and join the perfect pastor club. It is a wonderful place to be clean, to be forgiven. And I'll tell you what, when I step outside the boundaries, because I'm a human as much as you are, I'm quick to say, Father, I missed it. Forgive me, because I want to get back in. Yeah. Aren't you glad that your membership doesn't get revoked in the perfect club? Hallelujah. The perfect people club. That's what we're in, right? Yeah. Praise God. And if you're taking condemnation, you know what you're doing? When you take condemnation, you are eating of the fruit of the tree that God said not to. Because you're just doing what God said not to do. He said, no condemnation. Oh, I'm going to condemn myself. Okay. Keep going down. Condemning yourself is just as much of a sin as anything else. Praise God. What a night. Oh, what a night. I don't know if that's a bad song or not. Actually, you know what? It probably is now that I think about the words going forward. Whoa. Forgive me, Lord. See, I just jumped out of the perfect pastor club. Now I got that in my head. I'm trying to think, what did they say? What happened on that night? I can about guess probably. Wasn't anything good unless it was marriage. But anyway, you know, I better just shut up. See, this is what I do. I'm just awkward by nature. And then I start talking and I just keep going. I'm like, if I just would shut up, it wouldn't be a problem. But my mind gets going and I just can't do it. I just better stop. Let's just pray. Father, we love you so much. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Lord. I'm so sorry. Father, I bless you. But I will go out and Google those words. I promise you. See, there I go. I just keep talking and telling you. But I got to know now. Father, we love you tonight. We bless you. Thank you for help, Father. These are warning shots. These are warning flares that you give us. Father, I had no intention to preach this tonight. In fact, Father, you know it. When I was in my office today, and this is the direction, I knew it would be a sobering service tonight. But Father, this is where wrong thinking can lead. This is where wrong... That's what the devil tries to do, is lead us into destruction. And it's true. We have to see the truth of the word, that the disobedience of obeying the wrong things That's what happens. So, Father, we're going to repent for the wrong things that we do. We're going to start doing it your way, because if we don't do it your way, we're just partnering up with someone that's just trying to kill us. It's like we're going to a dance with somebody that wants to just absolutely hurt us at the end of the night, absolutely do wrong things to us. You sweeten the deal for a while, but then you're just evil. You're evil to us, and we're not going to obey you anymore. We're not going to listen to you anymore. We're going to do it God's way. You're a liar, devil. It's not better your way. It's not worse God's way. It's better God's way. It's more joyful God's way. It's more blessed God's way. You're a liar. You're a liar. You're a liar. Tell him he's a liar. You're a liar, devil. You're a liar. We know you're a liar. The Word is our standard. The Word is our help. Father, we thank you. We praise you. Just bless him tonight. Thank you, Lord. We glorify you. There's no reason there needs to be a fall. There's no reason there needs to be crumbling. Let's fix the cracks in the foundation. Let's shore some things up. Let's shut the door. Ephesians 4:27 says, don't give place to the devil. Let's shut the door on him. Hallelujah. The Bible says, they that sin not, in 1 John chapter 3, says the wicked one touches them not. The devil can't touch the righteous. The devil can't touch the holy. You are of no place in our life. We glorify you, Father. Now I know everybody in this room is born again, but if by chance somebody listening, or somebody listening in the future by archive, has not accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, that forgiveness and freedom from your past and your wrongdoings is available to you. All you have to do is accept Jesus. The Bible says he'll forgive you of your sins. He'll take you as a child and be a dad unto you and love you and provide for you and care for you. All you have to do is believe that Jesus died and rose again and ask him into your heart. If you can say, Pastor, I can do that. I do believe in Jesus. I believe he died and rose again. Well, then just simply say, Lord, I believe it. Will you come into my heart? And he will. And then get a hold of us through email, through phone call. We'll get you hooked up in a good Bible teaching church. Father, we endeavor from this night forward to do it your way. And Lord, we thank you that it's so easy to get back into the good graces of you by just repenting. Father, we have to recognize that anything outside of your word is an attempt to pull us into absolute devastation, destruction, heartache, depression, and sadness, misery, and tragedy. That's not where we're going. So, Father, we're going to do it your way. Our thoughts are your thoughts. Our ways are going to be your ways. And we give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you for coming out. Have a wonderful rest of your week. And we'll see you Sunday morning at 10. You are dismissed.